On this week's episode, we talk about Argyle.
And other pop culture news from the week.
We just saw the new Matthew Vaughn movie, Argyle. And let's, what was the thing that guy says? Let's DTF. Discuss the film.
Yes. On this podcast.
Yes.
Always.
Uh-huh.
DTF.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Anyways, new Matthew Vaughn, probably Matthew Vaughn, a very talented director. He made some really cool things in the past. X-Men First Class. I think he did the second one too. Which is called
Days of Future
Past. Days of Future Past. But also the Kingsman universe.
Such a great universe.
Really, really good. And among all the really cool, really good things. This one is a spy. Or is it? Spy action movie, which he himself claims it's an ode to 80s action movies. You know, like Die Hard or Lethal Weapon. And this one has the spirit of it. Because it has action, has great characters, it has heart. And it's fun. It's funny. So he delivers. But yeah, what do you want to say about Argyle?
Well, obviously we don't want to spoil anything. The cast is just, it's loaded. It's packed. Sam Rockwell, Bryce Dallas Howard, Dua Lipa, Henry Cavill.
Bryce Dallas Howard and Sam Rockwell. She's top of the bill.
Yes.
She is top of the bill. And yeah, just a small correction. Because if anything, you have a lot of movies out there when they push a woman to lead, but they don't do it properly, they don't do it well. In this one, they do it spectacularly.
It's true. We also have Ariana DeBose and Catherine O'Hara, Bryan Cranston.
Did you mention Argyle, Henry Cavill?
Yes, Henry Cavill.
John Cena. Catherine O'Hara.
Yep.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Okay, we're starting to repeat now.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Bryan Cranston.
Yes, he's also in it.
Sofia Boutella.
Really? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Among other talented people.
So, completely stacked cast, and they have just a really great story to go with it. I feel like it almost defies genres. There's moments where I feel like, oh, okay. Like it starts out like this is a very familiar movie. It reminded me of...
As a matter of fact, we just saw a very similar movie at the beginning of the week, which we're going to talk after.
Yes. Yeah, so there were a lot of moments where like, oh, okay, I've seen this before. But they take you to a place where like, nope. At one point I thought, oh, I figured out all the twists, but they're good, so it's fine.
Yeah, no. It's twists on the top of twists, and wait for the credits because there's an extra twist.
There is. There truly is. Okay, awesome cast. There are moments where it just gets so absurd, but they do it so well that it just becomes very entertaining. So it's just a whole emotional journey from like, ah, yes, fun spy movie to like, oh, goofy spy movie. Wow, these are some really intense emotions. What the heck is even happening now? What a great action film. Like, but every moment they execute it so well. And he's right. Bryce Dallas Howard, like, really, like, leads. Ah, it's just great. It's super fun.
She's
great Valentine's Day movie.
Yeah, that's right. She's delightful on, and so is Sam Rockwell.
Which we knew they would be.
It's so good.
Mm-hmm.
The movie is like, there's... Some very good, well played music. There's moments that are like very, very, very nicely. Some known tunes, and some there was a couple that I couldn't recognize, but they are fun too. I mean, not spoiling anything. I would just say go see it. It's fun.
It is fun. You've got the great cast. You've got gadgets. You've got exotic locations. Fun costumes. Twists on twists on twists. It's Wonderful.
Yeah, most expensive, one of the most expensive Apple TV Plus movies ever made. But money well spent, and you should go see it. What else can we say?
I think we nailed it.
If you like the trailer a little bit, you might enjoy the movie.
Yes.
Even more. Yes. If you didn't quite like the trailer, you might still like the movie.
It's true. There's a lot in the movie that wasn't in the trailer.
Yeah.
If you're not into spy flicks, this probably isn't the one for you.
Yeah.
If you're not open to some goofiness and some entertainment.
Yeah, no. Matthew Vaughn delivers again. And as he did with Kingsman, you know, he made one and then there was another one. Did he do Kick-Ass too? I'm thinking it right.
That sounds right. But I'm often wrong.
I might be thinking of the comic book, because I think what's a bucket? Kingsman is from the same author than Kick-Ass.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, but he did Kick-Ass. Okay. Both Kick-Asses, and Kick-Asses are really, really good too.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know the style, you know the drill. He brings talented people together and entertain you for 2 hours, I guess. And
I honestly wasn't paying attention. I was just enjoying the ride.
I'm curious
about... It was
about
a good ride.
The PG-13. Yeah. You see, it's a clean, fun movie for more ages. I wouldn't say all ages, but for more ages than restricted rated R.
Yeah. I think most of that PG-13 rating is an F-bomb.
There's language, yeah. There's language. Yeah. But it's...
Yeah, there's not a lot of gore. I mean, there's plenty of violence, but it's not like explicit gore everywhere.
Yeah.
Or anything.
So, there you go. Fun movie.
Yeah.
Action for kids of most ages.
Yeah.
And fun and entertaining. Keeping it clean and creatively. Yeah, I really liked it.
Yeah, it was fun. Go check it out. We saw another movie this week that was very similar, although perhaps not quite as well executed.
Yeah.
It's called Role Play.
Role Play with Kaley Cuoco and David Aloyolo, right? Aloyolo.
I'll be honest, I have practiced his name and I still struggle with it. Ayewolo, I want to say. There's just some syllables in there that do not want to go together on an English tongue, like on an Anglophone tongue.
Aloyolo, yeah. Aloyolo.
Anyways, I'll have to say we're really trying because names are important.
When we talk about
that one's tricky.
Very talented guy.
Very talented.
Oscar, he won an Oscar, right?
I don't know. Bill Nye is also in this
For Selma. Did he win for Selma? Oh, he was nominated for 2 Emmys, that's it?
I feel like he deserves maybe more than that.
Wow.
Oh, BAFTA.
He was, BAFTA. Of course, he was in Rebels. Playing a white guy, ironically.
Anyway, the point is, he's very good.
Yeah.
He's in this movie. This is what another one that Kaley Cuoco not just stars in, but she produced as well, I think.
Okay. She's coming from 2 seasons of, what's it called?
Flight Attendant.
The Flight Attendant.
This could almost be the same character.
But not. It was the same character, I mean, if it was written the same, or it would be more entertaining. Because first, she's a beautiful actress that became famous for, I guess, she started getting famous for being beautiful. On a comedy show, and then she her character got developed, and then she had a comicity, a comic time of, you know, being more than only the beautiful,
the cute neighbor.
Yeah, and Big Bang Theory was a phenomenon that lasted a decade.
Yeah,
and she did that very well. She moved on from that and she did like Voice, she did Harley Quinn, which she still does,
she's very good at,
which again comedy, and then she did the Flight Attendant, which is comedy with a little bit of drama.
It's very dark.
Yeah, and a little bit of thriller elements. It's like whodunit, or who wants to do her, meaning kill her, and why, and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So, which was a very good formula. First season was really good. Second season was less good, but it wasn't
but still
bad.
Well worth watching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then she comes to this movie, and we did see another show with her. Oh, it also was comedy and dark. It was, what's the show called? It was the podcast.
Yes. Oh, that's right.
Murder Mystery?
The serial killer. I can't remember what it's called.
Check the name.
Oh my goodness, I can't believe I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Because that one... Okay, so that's another one in the same vein where it's like Kaylee Cuoco's being Kaylee Cuoco, but she also has like a darker side.
Yeah, a little less darker than the flight attendant. Yeah. In this one, she's a mom to be. She's pregnant?
In this one, no. She's not pregnant.
Or she had a baby.
Oh, no, in the podcast one?
Yeah.
Based on a true story. Yeah, she's pregnant.
Yeah, so slightly different.
Mm-hmm.
There's no notes here about... Yeah, there's a note here about season two, but mm-hmm. no dates.
Yeah.
But anyways, so again, they were able to jiggle, to balance comedy
mm-hmm.
and drama action, absurd action, and even dark
mm-hmm.
comedy. It was really good. Very entertaining. Her and I can't remember the name of the guy. But anyways, on this one, after doing that, she did a lot of comedy on Big Bang Theory. And then she moved into this comedy more for adults, not broadcast TV, with other elements. Twice and did very, very well. And then she comes to this one. And what would you expect, right? It's the same problem that we found on Lyft with Kevin Hart. It's like, it's Kevin Hart. He's gonna joke about his height and probably slip a joke about his son because he does that in his special.
He does.
Yeah. But anyway, you would expect him to be funny, not like to be sort of Will Smith or Idris Elba. It's like, let's steal that plane. Anyways, so with Kaylee, we would expect the same. She would, the show would somehow have elements of comedy, and even the name of the movie is kind of a pun, is role play.
Yeah,
because the whole thing starts on a game, on the joke between
her and her husband,
between couples. No, what to say? Two of a couples.
Yeah. between partners.
There's no word for couples. Coupled? Between couples.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyways, there might be a word. We might find out.
Clearly,
at
there's,
the end
there's
of the episode.
Yet again, he's found a gap in the English language that needs to be filled.
Anyways, so you would expect that, or at least some of that. I
feel like it never really quite found the tone. It's like where Argyle was able to like move between tones and all that quite successfully.
So was her other shows.
Yeah. This one never quite found it. Like there were moments where I felt like I was supposed to laugh, but like it wasn't. I don't know. Going between like some of the intensity and the drama, which was like very interesting. But then maybe moments that were supposed to be funny. I don't know. It never quite found it. It was an interesting story. It was a fun watch. Like I don't regret watching it. It just like wasn't. It seemed like to just sort of dance around the sweet spot and never quite got there.
Yeah.
I think another challenge with it is she's been playing a lot of the same... She's been doing a lot of very similar roles. And it's hard to not see Kaylee Cuoco. Like, her hair and wardrobe have been basically the same in these last... In, like, all these different roles. So it's really hard to not just see, like, the same character or a similar character. And I feel like maybe we need to branch out a little bit, change some things up a little bit. I don't know. It wasn't bad, but I don't think it was as good as it could have been.
Yeah, I think I'm misdelivering in some aspects, and especially if like they don't quite pick a lane, they don't commit to, oh, this is a drama, this is a serious movie, or this is an actual movie, or this is a fun with a lot of comedy a movie. Mm-hmm. They try to mix all that, like we mentioned, all the successful stories that do that. But in this case, don't do it. It's like when it's dramatic, it's, over dramatic. There's like the soundtrack guides you in ways that's like, wow.
Yes.
What a
buzzkill. Yeah, it's
like
the soundtrack is like trying to tell you to feel one way, but that's not how you're actually reacting to what's happening on the screen. I don't know. They just kind of missed it. And I'm thinking like, okay, The Bear, and it's not really fair to compare other shows or movies to something like The Bear because it's like such a masterpiece. But like they do a great job. There's some like intense and emotional and dark stuff.
Oh yeah.
In The Bear, but there's also moments where you just like laugh. It's so funny. And they're able to strike that balance where like there's the levity that lightens up, like helps you get through the drama, but like the drama gives it like weight and something that like something for you to invest in. I don't know. So it's the balance that can be done. This one just didn't quite get it.
Yeah. It's
clearly this is like difficult to do. So when writers get it right, like well done.
Yeah. The plot of this one is very similar to for one we saw just a couple weeks ago, The Family Plan, mm-hmm. with Mark Wahlberg. And that one committed to a family funny movie, mm-hmm. and this one that had all the elements to be that, but kind of danced in the dark, in ways that that in some ways that at some moments it's not even clear not what the character is gonna do, because if it's written properly, you're not supposed to find out until the character finds out.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the actions of the character is like, huh? Why?
Yeah.
What the heck? And yeah. It also has Connie Nielsen in the cast.
Yes.
And I can't remember anybody else. But
I thought this was a familiar face. Did we mention Bill Nye?
Bill Nye, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. But all together, it has a good start. It then kind of lose itself.
Mm-hmm. I will say I really enjoyed the final scene. That was a moment where I was like, okay, yeah. No, this feels very real and accurate.
Yeah.
So, like, there were good moments. I guess I'm saying, like, overall, it was fine. Totally worth watching. If you're a fan of either one of these actors.
Yeah.
If you enjoy the genre. Like, it's not what a waste
genre?
Of time.
That's a problem.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. Anyway.
But, role play of Kaley mm-hmm. Cuoco and David Oyelowo is available on Amazon Prime. Ooh. Amazon Prime that decided that they're not rich enough and decided that they're gonna charge more.
Oh, man.
If you don't want to see commercials, and if you're willing to see commercials, I guess the price remains the same. But it's like the economy is such in a terrible state that everybody is trying to. You know, it's for their own good and for the good of their employees and try to stay in business and provide a good product or a decent or even a mediocre product. Either way, so
yeah.
Everybody's trying to find solutions. And the solution that Amazon found was ads.
Yeah.
In the case of this movie, if anything, we saw an ad at the beginning of the movie, mm-hmm. and that was it. So that's acceptable.
That's not terrible. A lot of movies really shouldn't be broken up with.
Yeah.
With ads.
If anything, we don't know about the other, because this is an Amazon original. So we don't know about movies that are not that case, or even shows.
Mm-hmm.
That, yeah. If anything, the shows have a break, you know, a black for commercials. So a three second commercial would be so nice, you know? 3 seconds. That's it.
Yeah.
So, hey, did you buy popcorn today?
Just like an image.
Yeah. Don't forget tomorrow. And then cut it back.
Mm.
You know, I'm pretty sure that would be very effective, especially if it's a smart commercial. What was a commercial you saw at the movies today that was really good you've never seen before? It was right before the Coke commercial. I'm a Coke. They pay agencies billions of dollars for a commercial. And they don't even need it because Coke was drinking space. There's Coke everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the it's gonna be May.
Oh, yeah, that was funny.
A really good commercial.
Yeah.
Anyways, so there's that for Amazon. If you don't want to watch a commercial, you can pay, I think it's $2 more.
That's not terrible.
Yeah, but still, you already paying for the service, and now it's like, oh, to survive you need commercials. It's like, no, to survive you need the money I'm paying. it's like they break in the industry as you know.
Yeah.
Because streaming came with this differential. It's like there's a catalog of movies, mm-hmm. and you can watch non-stop movies and shows. And yeah. you know, Netflix rose with that. And then comes some greedy executive, like, hey, maybe if you put commercials. Netflix refuses, and they still standing up for the mm-hmm. customers. But the other ones, they all find out, oh, but there's an option. If you don't commercials, you can pay more. So, they're already paying. Anyways.
Yeah. That's how they get you.
Yeah.
How they get you.
But yeah. So those are the things we saw. Mm-hmm. Just starting with Amazon and the commercials, the ads. Mm-hmm. We move to the news segment of the show.
Yes. So let's take a
look. Let's see the vignette. Sorry. There's no vignette.
Aw.
Yet.
Vignette yet.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's take a look at box office and ratings. So Godzilla Minus One is still doing really well. There's a black and white cut of the movie, and that's moved it up into number 3 on the all-time non-English chart. And it totally deserves it.
Wow, that's cool.
I'm trying to think of what the other two might be. Like, maybe Life is Beautiful?
Oh, you mean non-English?
The other two, like, non-English.
Non-English or non-American?
It says non-English.
Because it could be in English but not American, no.
Right.
So how is it says non?
It says non-English.
Non-English what?
It just says non-English. I guess box office chart.
Box.
All time.
Office chart.
Mm-hmm.
All. Time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Either way, it totally deserves to be up there.
The Battle of the Lake Changing. No, that's not it. That's the last of high grossing on English film is where?
Oh, we want highest gross. Here we go.
And here? Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Oh, I didn't realize that's a
production.
This
American production. Is it completely in Mandarin? But it was produced by. Maybe not.
Yeah.
Don't quote me on that. No.
No, where's that's the top. Well, anyway.
And that might have changed because this is.
Mm-hmm.
It jumps from one to 10. No, there might be a place to click here to see more. Yeah, there's no way. The article is.
Anyway.
Huh.
I'm sure this is thrilling for you to listen and watch.
But.
Let's try to find stuff on the phone.
Yeah, but yeah, well, that's it.
Okay. So, anyway, regardless of who else is up there, Godzilla Minus One is number 3 on the all-time non-English U.S. box office chart. That's very wordy. The point is, the movie's well worth seeing, and you should go see it. Okay, Suits is still doing really well. It's Nielsen's top 10 most streamed shows of 2023, total of 57.7 billion minutes viewed.
Wow.
Yeah.
And
it's a lot of Suits, folks.
And it just got a spinoff called, what's it called?
Suits LA.
Suits LA.
So are we going to see another franchise? So I don't know if it was Law & Order who did it first, but like Law & Order and CSI, NCIS.
Law & Order has 1700.
Yeah, but I mean, they started like that. Like, so it's like the title of the show and then either like a different location or a different specialty or whatever.
So, yeah, wasn't Star Trek they did it first? No.
No, not like that.
Yeah. Anyways, so I found the list. Yeah, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon is still the number one with 128 million.
Mm-hmm.
Then followed by Life is Beautiful.
Yes.
With 57.25 million.
I love being right. I love it so much.
Third is Hero, or was Hero, because now is Godzilla Minus One. Mm-hmm. Parasite is on the list. Instructions Not Included is on the list. I heard that one is fun.
Oh, Pan's Labyrinth.
Wait, that's not in English?
No, it's Spanish.
Oh, okay.
It's very good. I need to see it again, though, because the only time I ever saw it was kind of a bad edit.
What do you mean?
Like, an attempt to, like, clean it up, yeah. To, like, de-rated R it. Or, like, make it more like PG-13, but it was not well executed.
Is that even possible?
Not really. Not effectively.
Huh. Okay.
So that's why I want to see it again. Anyway, okay, so that's what's going on over there. Colin from Accounts, season 2, is going to be coming to Paramount Plus in the U.S.
Duh! Come on, if there's a season two, because it's Australian TV, and they making it. And there was like, there was really a question that they should bring to Paramount. Come on.
I mean, not a question that they should. It's just a question of will they? And I'm really glad that they are.
Yeah, I mean, delightful. I don't know. I mean, if people enjoy the show like we did, the show, it might have good numbers enough to justify. Yeah. Anyways, fun show.
My daughters and I have been on a pretty intense Bluey kick. And so this is just a lot of Australian media coming into our home. It's delightful. But I'm starting to notice there's some like actors and actresses that are overlapping.
Yeah.
Both. Yeah, it's kind of fun.
Actors from Bluey or on Calling from Accounts?
Yeah, so the lead guy on Calling from Accounts, I can't remember his name. I think he voices one of Bandit's brothers.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so it's not like a big role, like sure. It's not in every episode or anything, but yeah.
That's funny.
There's some other familiar voices, people who've popped up in like American TV. Like what was that show with Craig Robinson? Where they're like in Florida and the Everglades.
Killing it.
The girl voices a recurring character as well.
Oh wow. She was on the Waititi show. She was the wife of the gay
That's
pirate.
Right. Of what was his name? Steed Bonnet,
yes.
Yeah. Anyway, that's good stuff. Okay, speaking of Paramount, they're having a bit of a moment. Byron Allen made a pretty big offer.
Yeah, $14 billion.
That's right.
He really wants it.
Billion with a B.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Let's move over to what we never planned to have a weekly What's Going Wrong at Disney segment, but it just sort of happens.
It's on the news. If you don't see here, you're going to see somewhere else. Maybe not as accurate and factual as we do here, but yeah.
Yeah, but it's just like every week there's something else. I don't know, Inside Out 2 is coming out soon. Maybe I'm hoping that's going to be good. It'd be nice to say something like,
I don't know.
Positive about
Inside Out 2 is risky because the first one was so good, you should leave it alone.
Yeah.
There's like very rare moments that worked. Toy Story was an exception. It was not a rule.
Right.
They did the first one. It was awesome. The second one was great. And third one was perfect finale for a great trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
And they decided to make more. And they're still going to make more. So you had to learn how to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That said, the trailer, I think, looks really good. And it's kind of a logical place for a sequel to go. I think this one has good potential. And the first one was just really, really good. Anyway, Disney was suing Ron DeSantis over First Amendment issues. The suit was dismissed.
Yeah, the judge ruled the lawsuit should be dismissed. He was working according to the law, so mm-hmm. Disney lost another battle, and this time on the courts.
Yep. Okay. There are rumors about someone to replace Jonathan Majors as King.
Yeah, another J. This one, yeah. John David Washington. I hope he passes on that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Why? He's a good actor. He's a good. I think the whole Kang storyline, the whole Kang thing is kind of staged. It's kind of
infected,
tainted, and they should move on from that. Besides the fact that as I was working so far, it was not that good.
I don't know. I thought it started... The end of Loki season one, I was very excited about Kang. And it was like, for me, that was the most interested and invested I had been in the MCU since the end of Endgame. And getting rid of him now... And I mean, granted, they haven't been able to do a whole lot with him since, but like losing that, it's just kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
I feel like they were setting up something that could have been really great.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't feel it. And I mean, I mean, because they cast the I mean, you know, the you the whole race thing is a non-stop issue. Mm-hmm. So because they cast a black guy for, and that's interesting among pseudo fans of the Marvel Universe. And I say pseudo fans is like people that watch the movies and they think they know everything about
it. Is important to distinguish the Marvel Cinematic Universe from comics. They are quite
and people say it's like if they would cast in the next movie, they would cast King white, people would like riot. But in reality, King is not black in the books. Mm. But and again, because they did that, they couldn't recast him as white, which I think they could invest in a very good villain. There is a serious actor, and I mean, I even made some AI experiments this week. Using AI, I create a Kang, Bryan Cranston as Kang.
That's cool.
I'll show you later.
Oh, okay.
I think, but again, because this, people say, oh, Marvel's being racist, which is not the case.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact. But again, if they want to follow that and go for a black guy, John David Washington is an excellent actor.
He really is.
I don't know. I think he played sort of a, not a bad guy, but kind of a rude, more intense guy on Ballers. But besides that, everything else he does is like on the hero side, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if he would move from his style, genre, or from his mode, like, to a villain now. Maybe he could invest in a hero side and stays like that.
Yeah.
He could be a great Green Lantern. I don't know if James Gunn's going to do that, but James Gunn does some crappy decisions. Either way.
Yeah. All right, so we'll see what happens there. But in the meantime, Thunderbolts has lost another cast member.
Yeah, Thunderbolts lost, I can't remember his name, John Quanah. I have to check his name.
Okay. But and now they lost Ayo Edebiri. So,
yeah, it's a
has
big,
won an Emmy, so it's this kind of
significant loss. Steve Young. So Steve Young from Beef, from The Walking Dead, which was like right out of the gate, was the decision that fans and people that know the books was like, what the heck?
Mm.
The character in the books is like a Superman version, Marvel versions of Superman.
That's right.
He's gigantic, and he, not only that, he has like long blonde hair, like Superman mixed with Thor. With a big yellow suit, like really muscly guy.
Mm-hmm.
And they cast Steve Young, like Asian short guy.
Mm.
And everybody's like, what the heck? Anyways, it came to a point that Steve Young passed on and said, nope, thank you, bye-bye. And they did announce this week, heavy rumors this week that they're going to cast a guy that it looks more to the part. At least he's white and blonde. Mm. So they changed that, but they did lose Ayo Edebiri from The Bear. She moved on from the role for scheduling issues.
Or that's fair.
Or she woke up. Loss. She woke feeling very smart and was like, "Heck no! Why?
Bless her
I'm
heart.
On the top of the world now. Why would I?"
Seriously.
Yeah.
Seriously. El Muerto is under development at Sony.
El Muerto, that pardon the pun intended, was dead with Bad Bunny. Is apparently is being resurrected, and the project will come to light, or maybe at least has goodness. Hope, but no Bad Bunny.
Okay.
One last thing about Sony and the Marvel Universe, the. Rumors about Madame Web with Dakota Johnson and Sydney Sweeney and other people, Adam Scott. There's rumors that the movie's gonna flop really bad.
Yeah, the predictions for the box office were not good.
Yeah, they will be the worst. There's also predictions that they're gonna change the whole concept of with great powers come great responsibility, because apparently. And Adam Scott would play a young Uncle Ben.
Okay.
Yeah. And he would either get that from a Chinese cookie, fortune cookie, which is like, really? Just going to be like as lame as that. But again, they did that like Samuel Jackson, Nick Fury lost his eye for a cat. Cat, alien, whatever. Mm-hmm. Or she would tell him, which is like very on, when I say is on
brand, current,
on brand for the whole woke Disney productions, mm-hmm. that like who defines a Spider-Man was this woman. That was not even a thing.
Yeah.
You know, so retcon the whole thing to give an importance to a character that you could give importance to the character by other means.
You could.
By her own story. But no.
Oh, there's a fun idea.
You know, they did that to Captain Marvel, right? She she was the first Avenger. Even though we already had a first Avenger.
We already had a whole arc of Avengers films.
And then, but there's like, oh, they got the Fury got the name Avenger because that was a call sign. Ah, whatever. So it would be very on brand for them to do that. But besides that, Dakota Johnson said she did her best. But the movie, she's not so sure about the movie. And there's even rumors that it was said that the movie felt like it was written by an AI.
Yeah. So, that's pretty rough. Yeah. That's pretty rough. So clearly, we're not, like, super excited about that. A couple things that do look more interesting. Tim Burton is talking about remaking Attack of the 50-Foot Woman.
Yeah. With Gillian Flynn, the writer of Gone Girl.
Mm-hmm.
Among other things.
Yes. So, will the 50-Foot Woman be a dark but misunderstood being who just needs to be loved by somebody else who's dark and misunderstood? I feel like the odds are good.
I hope, you know, on the days we live, I hope the 50-foot woman will be a woman. That would be like,
oh yeah,
right out of the gate of victory. But yeah, well, but it's Burton. He done weirder things before.
Yeah, but usually that's not but quite maybe, his maybe, brand
maybe,
of weird.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe the weird now is to go normal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. James Wan is working on The Call of Cthulhu.
Yeah, Lovecraft, one of the most famous pieces. Mm-hmm. And Wan does good work, so we'll see.
Yeah. Another James who maybe does less great work, James Gunn. That's not fair. He's done some really great stuff. But he's not doing so great at DC. He did finally cast his Supergirl.
And guess what? You heard here last week, he picked a weird-looking one.
He picked Millie Alcock, who is a lovely actress, did great in House of the Dragon.
Yes.
Big fan. But I was really rooting for Meg Donnelly.
Me too.
For this particular role.
Yeah, and apparently they will follow a storyline where Supergirl is on was on a path for revenge.
Oh boy.
So yeah, we'll see how's that gonna
be. Alright, so dark Supergirl. Yeah. Super surprising. Well, here's that sentence. Oh, anything else on that?
DC, there's like rumors that this new DC universe is a mess. And it's like everybody's gonna be on this movie. So is that really a super bad movie? Anyways.
That's a very good question. All right, here's a sentence I never, ever thought in a million years I would say. Ben Shapiro, yes, that's right, that Ben Shapiro of the Daily Wire is topping the rap charts.
Number one on the billboards and other charts.
The heck
for is happening. Rap.
Yeah.
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 With the, what's it called? Facts.
The song is called Facts.
Facts with Tom McDonald.
Yeah.
That sounds like a country singer.
He does, but he doesn't look like one.
Yes.
He's a white guy, but he's got like braids.
Oh, this is so racist.
Got a grill.
Just because he's white, he can be a country singer?
No, because he's white. Most country singers are white. I'm just describing the man.
But yeah, anyway. It's a catchy song. There's a top in the charts.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, there's like videos of Tom like kind of exposing and how the whole chart system works, because they were number one and number two, three, and four was like Nicki Minaj.
Yes, in fact, she may have been tweeting back and forth.
Yeah.
What seems like some good-natured, like, ribbing.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's, congratulations. She's been pretty cool about it.
Not bad. But besides that, it's like she has 2, 3, and 4. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's Megan Stalin. And but then comes Nicki Minaj with, like, 5th, 6th, and 7th. But let's stay with Megan T. Stalin. So she has 2, 3, and 4
mm-hmm.
with the same song. Slightly different versions.
Oh, like featuring or radio edit, or
So there's like they were talking about like how the industry works in very weird, corrupt, and messed up ways. But anyways, good for Ben. It's a fun song. You should check
it. What a time to be alive.
Yeah, yeah.
He wears a hoodie.
That's not how it goes, but it's the a hoodie. Fun one.
It's just man.
Yeah, little Jewish boy. Yeah.
It's clearly not his normal milieu, shall we say.
But hey, that,
you know what?
Hey, it's an accomplishment, you know?
It really is.
He Vinny Vinici, and
Yes, Vinny Vici.
Vici. Mm-hmm. Anyways, what else?
That's it.
That's it.
Yeah.
So that's it for this week. We saw some cool things. We're going to see some more cool things this week. We started the magnificently made Masters of Air
Apple
TV. He's Spielberg and he's
so good so
Tom
far.
Hanks and that group of people making a terrific show about World War II.
Yeah,
this time about the Air Force.
When you see like those names behind a project like this, it sets the bar very, very high.
Yeah.
Because these are of course the people, the minds behind like Band of Brothers and Saving Private Ryan, right? So like really high bar. They're totally living up to it.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying it. I can't wait for the next episode.
And it was the original Band of Brothers in the Pacific. They were HBO, so high quality. This one is the show is not only good, it's not only with high quality, but it creates this water divisor, is that what you say? This divider of waters. Nobody says that.
I don't know. Well, I'm waiting to hear the rest of it for more context.
Yeah, there's like before and after. Like,
okay.
Yeah. It creates this change, this breaking of a paradigm. There is someone else is making the show with great quality. In this case, Apple TV Plus.
Mm-hmm.
So it's right up there, which is good. You know, have competition. You have more people. Making good stuff, you know, in different houses.
Yeah.
But with same liberty, with same creativity. Mm-hmm. Great show. Great start with what's his name? Elvis guy?
Austin Butler
and Barry Keoghan.
I have no idea how to say that band's last name.
Since he's Irish, it's probably Barry Keoghan.
Keoghan.
Yeah.
Either way, and he's in it. He's great. Many other familiar faces.
Yeah, and many talented faces for sure. I must see on Apple TV Plus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we catch up with the traders. We're gonna see more stuff. Mm-hmm. We're gonna bring you the news and entertainment next week. But for this one, we done.
Yes.
So may the force be with you.
Live long and prosper.
Bye.